Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another quarterly report from Tethys Oil. I think we'll start with concluding that we have yet a quite solid quarter. Maybe not a barnstormer, but we can conclude that production was in line with the first quarter, and we successfully completed some maintenance on all our three producing fields in Oman, and came in at above 12,000 barrels a day also for the second quarter. We saw production pick up a little bit more slowly in June than maybe we would have expected, coming back further in July, and we are quite happy with the outlook so far and stand by our guidance that we expect to have increasing production during the year with monthly fluctuations, but we should end the year on a higher production note than we started it. Looking at the revenue side, $21 million, it's up a little bit to compare to the first quarter. EBITDA is down a bit. Here, the macro environment, of course, is what's primarily influencing us. And we have seen oil prices volatility has come down, and prices seem to have stabilized in the $40 to $50 per barrel range. It's considerably better than we had for a period of time during the first quarter. But for us, as you know, since our sale price actually lags by 2 months, we are second quarter was still impacted by the seasonally low oil prices we saw during the early part of the year. And that has also affected the result, which is negative for the quarter, even if, of course, the cash flow from operation was positive. So the earnings per share is a modest loss of 8 cents for the quarter, but still a very strong cash position and allowing us to even when oil prices were at the lowest in the first quarter, actually declare a dividend of 1 crown per share. So we are happy with the quarter result, given the circumstances, and we consider ourselves to still be in a very, very strong position, both to develop the products we have and possibly other things. Turning to the asset base, it's unchanged as earlier, as quarter one. Our main asset remains the 30% of blocks 3 and 4 onshore Oman, with Lithuania being marginally profitable with some exploration upside and also now doing a major overhaul on our Minas Nafta producing asset. We have concluded and terminated a long-term production test in the Rasana license, where we're now trying to better understand how, if at all, we can optimize production from the oil that we have discovered there. And France remains very much on the back burner, awaiting political changes. So turning back to the production, has been reasonably steady, actually. Maintenance work completed, and we saw production come back up again a little bit in July, and as I said, we stand by our forecast for the rest of the year. Turning to cash flow, an item that is actually quite important to show that we have a stable and robust project, and to give the details there, I will hand the line over to Morgan.
Thank you, Magnus, and good morning to everyone. Pleased to present yet another quarterly report. And starting with cash flow, we reiterate that the investments for 2016 will be closely monitored and subject to ongoing revisions, and that the target is to fund the year's investments primarily from cash flow from operations. And as you can see, for the second quarter 2016, the cash flow from operations amounted to $11 million and investments amounted to $9 million. So there's a surplus of $2 million. Cash flow from operations after investments. And with regard to Lithuania, the operations there are expected to be financed from oil production and available cash from the Lithuanian companies. Turning to production, looking at in the quarterly format, as Magnus mentioned, the second quarter production is flat in comparison to the first quarter. This is mainly due to the maintenance work that was carried out. If you look a bit longer, you can see that it's a 29% increase compared to a year ago. So significant growth. Looking at revenues, it's $21 million for the second quarter compared to $20 million for the first quarter. So in line, it's up 5% in comparison. Looking at the sold barrels on the following slide, it's up fairly significantly compared to the first quarter. We sold 740,000 barrels during the second quarter compared to the 531,000 for the first quarter. This has led to an overlift movement of from an underlift of 63,000 barrels to an overlift of 107,000. So there's a movement of 170,000 barrels in overlift movement. Turning to the average achieved selling price per barrel, the second quarter achieved price was $35.9 per barrel. There's a lagging mechanism to the price that we achieve of 2 months. So the higher prices, the higher market prices in May, June, and July will affect us in the third quarter. In this, the second quarter, it was lower, but very much in line with the first quarter of 35.7. Moving to EBITDA, it's down compared to the first quarter. It's down 18%, it amounted to $8 million, mainly related to higher costs, which I will go through shortly. The EBITDA margin is 41% and is slightly then lower than compared to the previous quarters. The expenses are up. We can see that first quarter 2016 expenses, mainly the main factor here is the operating expenses. The first quarter was significantly lower than the previous quarters, and we mentioned that in the first quarter report. We now in the second quarter have $10 million, which is up from the first quarter, which is resulting in lower EBITDA margins and EBITDA levels. We have reiterated that the operating expenses per barrel will be lower in 2016 compared to the average of 2015. Turning to the OPEX and netback per barrel, we can see that for the last 5 quarters, the OPEX per barrel has been in the range $7 to $12 per barrel. There is a decrease per barrel, which is related to higher production compared to a year ago, but also general cost reductions in the industry. We expect that the OPEX per barrel will be lower compared to 2015, may fluctuate for individual quarters, though. The net back is above $9 per barrel, and this should be seen in context of the $35 per barrel in achieved selling price. Turning to net result after tax, there's a loss for the second quarter. There was also a loss in the first quarter. The increase in loss is due to the higher costs in the second quarter, which is giving that effect. Turning to the balance sheet, we can see that we have continue to have a very strong balance sheet and a strong net cash position. It amounts to $41 million. We distributed 1 crown per share to shareholders, which totaled to $4 million, which explains the movement from end of March first quarter numbers to the end of June second quarter numbers. We also repurchased shares for $1 million during the second quarter. Turning to oil and gas investments, we invested $9 million for the second quarter, which is lower than the first quarter investment of $15 million. We mentioned during the first quarter report that the first quarter investments were high, and also we saw a similar effect during the first quarter of 2015. We have the same number of rigs and the same basic investment program. So $9 million for the second quarter, which is a bit more normalized comparing to the previous quarters. Most of our investments goes into drilling wells, and for the second quarter, we drilled 8 wells, which is in line with the previous quarters. All of these wells, the 8 wells drilled during the second quarter, were in the Shahad area, and we have 5 rigs in operations, of which one is a workover rig. So with that said, I'll hand over back to Magnus.
Thank you, Morgan, and thank you for this financial summary. The quarter has been pretty much a routine quarter, and operationally, with the maintenance work, of course, and focus on the surface rather than the subsurface. On the subsurface side, it's primarily been activity in the Shahad area, where 4 new wells have been put in production, and we've learned to continue to learn more about the best way to optimize the Shahad carbonates. Also on the subsurface, we are learning more and more about the various fields, and as the seismic interpretation gets more and more complete and mapping continues, we are quite very, very confident that we have a lot of growth potential left, both in the near field with a number of prospects within and between the producing fields. But we're also trying or starting to get a better and better grip of what the opportunities are and which opportunities could be the better ones in the far field area. The seismic coverage over the main fairway is now pretty much complete, and interpretation is gaining completion. And if the second quarter was a routine quarter based more on solidifying what we have and upgrading and maintaining the infrastructure, we would expect maybe the rest of the year to be slightly more adventurous when it comes to the exploration appraisal side. The stratigraphy is and remains complicated, but also quite promising in that we have oil in so many different layers, but the different properties, of course, suggest that we have to attack and produce the layers in different manners. We have been focusing during this year primarily on the Khufai carbonates and the Buah carbonates in the Shahad, and we certainly see that the potential there for continued growth is quite high. The Farah field is much more predictable and very much moving forward according to plan, with additional water injection being implemented and also additional fault blocks being mapped and put into the drilling schedule going forward. Whereas the Shahad has really three main objectives, is the implementation of the of water injection and additional production wells in the green spots here, but also maturing of the yellow spots and finding more yellow spots to see where we can find additional sweet spots within the whole Shahad carbonate area. And we would expect some focus to stay on that also for the remainder of the year. So to conclude, we have robust revenues, positive EBITDA. Oil prices have given us a negative result, but we expect that to turn around as oil prices recover. Our cash position remains strong. We have no long-term debt. We see growth potential both in the near field prospects and in optimizing the structures in production. And we see a strong potential also in the far field area, which we now are trying to or starting to delineate in a much better way than we have done before. So all in all, we believe that we stand on a very firm ground. We have a robust project also at these prices. If oil prices do recover over time, of course, we will make more money from what we have. But we also believe we have some serious growth within the Block 3 and 4 area that is yet untapped. And of course, our balance sheet gives us opportunity to assess other opportunities should such occur. On that note, we'd like to open the floor for questions. Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll enter a queue. After you are announced, please ask your question. And please hold until we have the first question. Our first question comes from Lana Johan Wiedmark from Erik Penser Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Okay. Hello. Magnus and Morgan, just one question about these opportunities that you're seeing in the market. The oil price has bounced quite a bit in only the last couple of days. Could you elaborate a bit on the potential acquisitions or the opportunities that you're seeing? You sound a bit less aggressive now in this area, if I understand it correctly, or how should I see this? Thanks.
I think if I may say that we have the perception that transactions are more likely now than they have been before. We've seen a few high-profile M&A deals actually being announced. We also believe that sellers and buyers are a little bit closer than they were maybe, say, half a year ago. So the overall trend seems to be towards consolidation. I mean, we certainly need to see consolidation not only in the American shale industry, but also on the global side. And we would expect to see more transactions in the second half than we've done over the last 12 months so far. How that will affect us, well, with an increase in willing sellers and willing buyers, probability for action should increase. What that's going to translate to concretely for us is to be seen. But we would certainly welcome a good opportunity if one comes our way.
Okay, thanks. Just to follow up on that, are you still mainly focused on Oman, or what's the probability for a deal outside Oman?
I would say that we have strong competitive advantages in Oman, given that we have a very strong technical presence there. We have some very good staff. We have a good understanding of Omani geology, et cetera. But we would certainly entertain good opportunities also outside of Oman. It's very much up to the availability of projects that meet our pretty high standards.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Teodor Nilsson from Swedbank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, Magnus. Good morning, Morgan. A couple of questions. First one is all on production. You said that you will exit 2016 on a higher production level than you entered it. So how should you think about 2017 and production growth? Should we expect higher production by the end of 2017 versus end of 2016?
Dear Theodore, 2017 is a far way off still, and I don't think we've actually given any guidance on 2017. The question is, of course, interesting, but I don't think we have any official comment on that at this stage, but we will try and come up with some guidance for 2017 in our third quarter report, if not before.
Okay, that's fair. So looking forward to those comments. Also on CapEx, Morgan commented that the second quarter CapEx represented a more normalized level than we've seen in the past few quarters. So is that like a normalized level in terms of keeping the production flat, or is that a normalized level in relation to being able to grow the production?
The comment was there that it's a more normalized level given the amount of rigs and the investment program that we have. That the first quarter investments were higher compared to previous quarters, and you saw the similar pattern first quarter in 2015. So the normalized comment was more related to the, based on our current number of rigs and the investment program, that the level of investments is more normalized during the second quarter.
Okay, understood.
So not really interpreted as related to any production levels.
Okay, but assuming that you keep the capex flat for was it $9 million every quarter going forward, will then be able to keep to fight the decline with that capex, or keep production flat?
I think in that regard, we'll come back to the guidance we have on production, that we do see a growing production, but with monthly fluctuations. But we do see growing production based on the investment program that we have.
And then my last question, if I may, so some dividend. I guess you maybe plan to announce some dividends for 2016 as well. Should will you then consider dividend in relation to the cash flow or earnings per share or production growth, or on what basis will you decide the size of the dividend going forward?
The dividend will primarily be decided in relation to the targets we have for our capital structure. They are pretty clear over the long term. How that will play out in the near term will be very much a function of market conditions. But it's primarily adhering to our long term capital structures that will determine how the cash and earnings will be distributed in the near term.
Okay, that's there. That's all for me. Thank you.
Our next question comes from line of Johannes Grunselius from Handelsbanken. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello, Morgan, and hello, Magnus. A few questions here. Could you give some color on how the next maintenance work did affect the Q2 production, the volumes? And you've also given out July production. I think that number was slightly below 12,000 barrels per day. So I'm assuming that also had an influence by planned maintenance work there. But how would those volumes be if we would hypothetically exclude that maintenance work would have occurred?
I don't think there is a straight answer to that. I mean, it's all a matter of also optimization of the wells in question, or the wells. So, I mean, maintenance, we saw a number of shut-ins. What we also saw when we've seen the occasional workover and some overall work on various and respective wells. So it's difficult to depending, say, on what order you would do what workovers, etc., you would get a different outcome. And that's partly why our guidance is as it is. I mean, there will be monthly fluctuations. If you, for example, work over a well with a higher production rate, that would affect production more than, of course, one with a lower production rate. and the scheduling of those and how that actually plays out is dependent on the number of different factors. So it's difficult to really give a straight answer there. But clearly, it would have been higher than what it was. But okay. I don't think we want to give a number.
No, fair enough. But when we look at the August and September production here, those numbers will be, non-affected by the maintenance work, I guess.
They will certainly not be affected by any surface work. There may still be the occasional spillover when it comes to primarily workovers and just to give an example, certain flow lines when they were renovated were optimized in such a fashion that wells in closer clusters that were drilled at disparate times would have had separate flow lines. They may now have, for example, been put together in clusters and one larger flow line taking the cluster to the facility. And that could still be some effect then of shutting in certain wells as part of the program, so to speak. But this is really more a matter of the ongoing optimization that we do that from time to time will affect the maximum production. And I think it's fair to say that we are never really going to see everything up and running 100% all the time. We are constantly trying to fiddle around and maximize production and cut costs. And this is an ongoing process.
Mm. Then a different question on buybacks. I saw, obviously, that you did some buybacks in Q2 here. How should we view that? Will you continue in the pace that we saw in Q2, or will it depend on the share price, or how should we think about share buybacks?
Morgan, you want to think about share buybacks?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have a mandate from the AGM to repurchase shares, and we have the board's sort of approval to do so. We haven't given any guidance of when and what up terms, other than that we are, before this report was before the third-day period, before this report, we were repurchasing shares in the market. So this is, again, coming back to what Magnus said about our capital structure target. This is one of the tools we have in that possibility with relation to our capital structure target. So without giving any guidance on what level of the share price or so, this is one way of distributing cash to shareholders.
Right, right. And finally for me, you're indicating lower OPEX year over year. But is that a kind of a marginal decline, or how should we think about the OPEX per barrel here in coming years? Is there any sort of, deflation going on also in Oman, given that the oil price is depressed at the moment and so forth?
You've seen that our OPEX per barrel has come down for the last quarters. It has to do with, obviously, a lot of our OPEX costs are fixed, so the higher production compared to a year ago will affect the OPEX per barrel, but it is also a general cost pressure in the industry, which we benefit from. So with that said, I think the levels that we now have are clearly much, much more attractive than they were a year ago.
Yeah, but would you say there is still some potential to come up? Come down in OPEX per barrel in the coming year?
Sure, there's a ongoing work to always cut costs and benefit from the cost pressure in the industry, and also the element of higher production should mean lower OPEX per barrel. So obviously there's room for lower OPEX per barrel in given those two things.
Sure. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Our next question comes from the line of Carl Fredrik from ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Just a quick question on your capital structure targets. Have you set any time horizon on how you define the long-term target? Is it for within 1 year, or is it over a longer term?
Say it's over a longer term than 1 year. I believe we have suggested that I think about 18 months or so is what rolling 18 months is something that have been, but it's longer than 1 year. It's shall we say a It's a bit of a string. It's longer than 1 year, but it's a long-term target that, of course, we plan to reach eventually. But short-term short-term events can influence the speed at which the target is reached.
Okay, so given that there's a lack of interesting M&A activity, you'll then within 18 months distribute to shareholders.
We have not been that precise, but it's certainly more than 1 year.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
And I'll remind you that if you want to ask a question, you will have to press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And there will be a further pause whilst questions are being registered. As there are no further questions being registered, I will return the conference back to you guys.
Okay, so thank you very much for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you listening to you again and listening to us again on the 1st of November when we plan to publish the results for the third quarter 2016. Thank you very much.